Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. I hope you had a good weekend. Joe, Alan and Billy from Aslan are coming into us today and they're letting us hear the last song that Christy Dignam recorded with Aslan. And I've listened to it and it made the hair stand up at the back of my neck. It's very emotional and I think you're going to want to hear it. And the lads, it's only about a month now since Christy died. They're still recovering from that and they know they have to keep going. So we'll be chatting to them about that. And I'm sure they'll be encouraged by Aslan fans who want to send them words of encouragement. So if that fits the bill for you, get them into us, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. So on Friday we were in Galway. So thanks to John and everybody down there and all our guests as part of the film FLA. And we spoke to Matthew Modine, fans of Stranger Things will know him as the Doctor with the white hair. Full Metal Jacket, he was in that. He was in Birdie and loads of other things. Anyway, we were talking to him about the strike, the actors and writers strike that's ongoing in America. And one of the things that the actors and the writers want to sort out is how the industry, as in producers in Hollywood and streamers, use AI, artificial intelligence, because they feel that it's a big threat to them. For example, and we played it to him, they could, you know, they could clone his voice or clone any actor's voice. And we played him, I'll just play a little bit.
I'm never going to dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm.
So he never recited the lyrics to Careless Whisper. That was AI doing that. And now I see Ryland Clark, you know, BBC Radio 2. Ryland, he was on X Factor, wasn't he? And he's an amazing presenter, does everything for the BBC and everybody else. He tweeted last night that he had just heard himself on an ad that he has no recollection of doing. Now, I don't know if that, anyway, is a defence. It could be one of the two things. Either Ryland is doing really well recording adverts and has simply forgotten which ones he's done, or it could be AI. It could be artificial intelligence. You might remember we spoke to Remy Michelle Clark, a Wicklow woman. She was on a while back. She told us that her voice was being advertised for use and used without her permission. With advancements being made in artificial intelligence at a rapid rate, could this be another instance where Ryland's voice has been used without his permission, or did he just do it one morning and he's forgotten? I don't know. We'll find out more about that. Professor Lo Chung Mao, he's the Secretary of Health, as in the Minister for Health in Hong Kong, and he's come out very strongly about smoking in Hong Kong, and he's encouraging people to stare at smokers disapprovingly. As part of an effort to create a tobacco-free city. I don't know how this would work. And he reiterates, he's a doctor, cigarettes can harm the health of us all, he says. You know, secondhand smoking. Remember we had all the debate about that when they were banning smoking in restaurants and pubs here. This is a quote from, when someone takes out a cigarette at a restaurant, everyone on the premises can stare at that person. I don't believe that person would dare to hit back at everyone at the restaurant as they are simply staring. He says, we want to create a non-smoking culture. Our society is able to create a culture where people will comply with this rule of queuing when waiting for a bus, for example. Why can't we do it for a non-smoking culture as well? Do you have to be careful? It's starting nearly like vigilante stuff, isn't it? Anyway, interesting. And they're trying to get rid of smoking in prohibited areas completely in Hong Kong. And he's leading the charge, Professor Lo Chung Mao. There's rabbits everywhere. Well, if you're in Florida, in Wilton Manors, it's a suburban neighbourhood in Florida. Between 60 and 100 rabbits. They're lion head rabbits. They're thick fur and are fearless. And they are descendants of a group of backyard breeder who illegally let them loose when she moved away 2 years ago. And you know the expression, yes, yeah, breed like rabbits. Well, rabbits breed like rabbits as well because they're rabbits, you see. Yes. And there was a few and now there's 6,200 and they're roaming the streets of Wilton Manors. I know when you look at the picture and you see two or three of them, they look very cute. Look at the little buddy. But when it comes to 60 and 100 and nobody has control of them, you're more into a Hitchcock movie there. Residents are trying to raise $20,000 to $40,000 to rescue them and get them into homes. Wilton Manors. And we've our own story here. The DSPCA has described the release of four pet lionhead rabbits into St. Stephen's Green in Dublin as irresponsible. Members of the public had spotted the rabbits and staff from OPW on duty were able to capture them. They're now in the care of the DSPCA. So that they got them before they started breeding like rabbits. That's a horror movie for me. Opening up your door and seeing hundreds of rabbits in front of you. I don't care how cute they are. When there's more than there should be, the cuteness wanes very quickly. There's a good call. I think I heard this on what it says in the papers this morning. A charity in the States has called for more manned checkouts in supermarkets because everything is going towards automation and technology and less people. And of course, if you're a little bit older and you're having hassle when you come to the unmanned checkouts, it's a bit of a pain. And then if you're dealing with cash and they don't take cash and all those things. So we have to be aware of that. We can't just forge on with technological advances to the detriment of society, leaving vulnerable people behind. So we have to be careful about that. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Harry Styles is in the news. When is he ever out of the news? Madame Tussauds has unveiled not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven Harry Styles. Seven Harry. So there's seven Harry Styles waxworks following fan requests, and they're not in the one place. When I read this first, I thought, oh, there's seven of them in the row, all with different outfits. No, they're in Madame Tussauds all over the world. But of course, each Madame Tussaud would reflect the culture and the popularity of certain figures in that country. But such is the global appeal of Harry Styles that they have one in New York, Berlin, Amsterdam, Hollywood, Singapore and Sydney. All there, all in different outfits. The one in London has his green double-breasted suit jacket and lime green trousers inspired by an outfit he wore at the My Policeman premiere in which he stars. I'm sure some of them will feature a pink feather boa and a jumpsuit and all sorts of things. There you go. There's a sign then at the end when your popularity is waning, they start, doesn't feature in the Berlin one anymore, doesn't feature in the New York one anymore. And before you know it, you're not featuring any of the Madame Tussauds. Message of support for Aslan. Loving the new tune, lads. It's almost like Christie's in the room. Incredible vocal, as always, thinking of you all. That's Graham. And we'll be playing that Aslan tune for you. I'm not going to give away the title for those of you who haven't heard it. Let it be a bit of a surprise when the lads are in. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah! Would you stop playing with that radio of yours? I'm trying to get to sleep.
Ah, yeah, you have to play it till the end. That's Too Funky, George Michael. And we got a chance to talk to Andrew Ridgely on Friday, and we're going to play that out next Friday about the Wham documentary, which is on Netflix. Highly recommended from here. Remember All the Rabbits and Father Ted in the Bishop's Bedroom? I do. This is Neil. They need to get Bishop Len Brennan out there to sort them out in Florida. And Declan has been on from Listowel. That rabbit thing is surely a police matter. I suggest getting Starsky and Hutch on the case. Hey! Hutch, Aisling. Hutch. Yeah. That's she gets it, yeah. Now, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our whodunit quiz. Three questions each, and you can go for a clue or not, depending on how you're feeling about a particular category. And there is a prize, and it's a mini break at the Kingsley in Cork with a two-night stay in one of their stylish riverside rooms, dinner on one evening and breakfast each morning. You and a guest will also be treated to a luxurious Kirsten Florian Nordic Zen experience at the spa at the Kingsley. Beautiful bedrooms they have, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa and extensive health club. The Kingsley has everything you need for the perfect breakaway, set in a stylish and distinctive riverside location on the bank of the River Lee, or even the banks of the River Lee. and perfect for exploring everything that Cork City has to offer. Thekingsley.ie. Here's your qualifying question on this Monday afternoon. Carlos Alcaraz won which major tennis tournament yesterday? 0818 715 925. 0818 715 925. And good luck with that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Billy just said it to me, the words I have in front of me, even though we knew was coming. It was still a shock to hear the news on the 13th of June that we'd lost one of Ireland's most loved singers, Christy Dignam. The incredible outpouring of love and support following his death brought some comfort to his family and the lads as well. And they're here with us. Billy McGuinness, Alan Downey and Joe Jewell. How are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's all very strange.
Yeah.
But look, we're musicians at the end of the day, and we had a good chat about this, even though we knew it was kind of coming down the road. But and we sat down a couple of weeks ago, we had a good chat, and we just said, look, who wants to stay on? Who wants to continue on? The three of us decided that we'd give it a go. We don't really know what we're going to do yet. But we want to get out there, and
we booked a rehearsal studio, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we were only in there for an hour, but it was just, you know, get the guitars out, dust them off.
And Joe, when was the last time you'd done that?
Oh, nine.
The 5th of August, Ballykeith Amphitheatre. Right. Was the last time the band played up until we got the guitars.
So the 5th of August last year.
It's nearly a year. It's only a year since we actually played, and it was more like therapy, Ray, when we got up and we started playing the Aslan songs, and then of course we started talking about Christy while we're there, and all the memories coming back, and it was emotional because, for me personally, when we were in rehearsal, Christy was always late anyway. And he'd always have a great excuse, you know, I have a puncher, or I have to tax the car. So we're in there rehearsing, and I'm expecting the phone to ring, and it's Christy with an excuse.
Yeah, it was weird.
But he's not very coming weird. In. He's not coming.
And people would have known it was 40 years last year, the 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Joe and Alan, you were childhood mates with Christy, were you?
Well, I met
Christy in what, 1982, when the band started.
All right,
but Joe goes way back, school days, different bands,
different players. You know,
so right,
just messing around as kids.
Yeah,
going to gigs.
Were you sort of playing before you started playing music? Were you sort of that young?
Yeah, kind of. You know what I mean? You know, there was always something. The music was always a connection somewhere.
Yes.
Along the line, you know what I mean? So, you know, when it started off in a school band, and, oh, Jess, I know somebody who will.
Yeah.
You know, they sing, you know, Christy, you fancy giving this a go, you know, and then you call down and go, listen, I will, yeah, okay. And, you know, now with different drummers and different bass players and other guitarists, and, you know, I wish I could name them all, you know, but I can't.
Yeah.
Because I'm a borderline.
And Billy was Johnny Come Lately.
The baker.
Yeah. Billy mooched his way in.
I used to arrive down to Alan's garage in Finglas. The lads would be in there. First of all, I went to see them in the Revenue Commissioners Club, and they blew me away. I said, Christy Dignam, what a front man. Unique. I've never saw anything like it. I want to be in this band. How do I get into this band? I asked them, could I join? They told me no. They threw a flag. Now, piss off. You're not getting in the band, said Christy. So, the lads did a 2FM fanning session,
right,
and you know you got paid for it then. So that was the first time that the band actually got paid for a radio session. So as you do,
that's right, yeah.
We went up to the back of the building, which was at the back of the airport, and the lads proceeded, and I was with them. We proceeded through the check behind the bar, and we drank the proceeds. Right. And I asked them when the defences were down, I said, can I join the band, lads? And they all went, yeah, of course you can, Billy, we love you, come on. The next morning, you want to see their faces when I turned up at the garage and they're all regretting it. I've gone, what are you doing here? Where's the cakes? I'm in the band, lads.
And the rest of the thing is history.
My first gig was a 2FM. First gig was a 2FM gig, Lark in the Park in Raheem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going way back.
Jesus. So, so you went back and you did a bit of rehearsing.
Yes.
And when you're singing the songs and Christy isn't there, that's poignant, I'd imagine. That's tough.
We weren't actually singing them.
We were just playing them
and just doing the odd backing vocals. So we knew where we were in the arrangement of the song. But
we got the set list out from the last gig and it started with Gotta Make It. So we started playing and either me or Joe would just do a guide vocal just so the band would know where we were, you know. And then we decided, look, we're just enjoying ourselves playing and it's therapy. Is there anything we can do now as a tribute to Christy, as a thank you to the fans who followed us for 41 years and been through the thick and thin and with Christy being sick and Christy when he was addicted and all that. So it was a kind of a tribute to Christy and a thank you to the fans. Joe actually went searching and found out that our last recording was done in Jellistown Studios.
That's right.
And it was Fields of Attenroy, believe it or not, which came as a complete shock because...
But you're not there first.
But I don't remember the session, Ray. It was like Paul O'Reilly contacted us and he said, look, I love the way Aslan do a twist on their covers. Right. You know, like Angie, Wish You Were Here. In fact, we've done a covers album. And he said, I'd love to hear you covering the Fields of Attenroy. But it was done and it was sent back to Paul and then it was forgotten about. Mm. Like there was no comeback as in... This is great.
So when did you do it?
Was it a year ago?
It'd be a year anyway, a year and a half.
It would be definitely.
But look, Christy, he was always messing around with ballots. Like, look at the Green Fields of France thing. Do you know what I mean? That was huge as well, him and Finbar. And I remember even, I was only thinking about this morning, I remember about 9 or 10 years ago and Christy was going on about ballots. And we were actually going to, when we were messing one day, we were going to call the band Christy and the Irish Boys.
Celtic Christy and the Irish Boys.
And the Irish Boys.
That was it, yeah.
But he was always messing around with
those. On one occasion, I chatted to him about that and he said he wanted to do a full album.
Yeah,
that's right.
But you see, Ryan Tuberty is actually responsible for that because Christy was telling us that when he was in there rehearsing with Finbar, it was supposed to be just a throwaway, a verse and a chorus, and that was it. Mm. And they done that, and Ryan Tuberty said, hang on a minute, this is special. You have to draw this out. And the producer was going, there's no time, Ryan, there's no time. And Ryan says, make time.
There you go.
This is
super special.
This
he
is
knew
gold.
It was special.
14 million views on YouTube and still going up. But I think that's when Christy saw the response to that. It really dragged him into that Celtic Christy and the Irish Boys. We all jumped on it really,
you know, just to see because Christy puts a stamp on everything.
It was just when he started singing it, you know. Paul O'Reilly, who Dolphin Records, who has the publishing or whatever, so he was on to us and Christy was mad up for singing that. Yeah. You know, and like if you listen to the vocal, it's just something very kind of
haunting about it. I think
it's one of the best vocals he's done. Yeah. Is that because Christy's not here?
Maybe.
And I'm listening to it with emotional ears. But Joe produced it anyway, so Joe will tell you.
Is it one of the best vocals he's done? It's definitely very Christy.
It's definitely up there, yeah. But I think the main thing is because it's a different type of song, you know. And he just puts a stamp on it.
But it's about a part of our history.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm sure Christy felt very strongly about.
Exactly.
The lyrics weren't lost on him at all.
No.
So will we listen to it then?
Oh, I'd love to hear it. Yeah. You'd love to hear it. This is my first time hearing it on radio.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aslan, the late Christy Dignam on lead vocals and the Fields of Athenroy.
Fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Take
Yeah, well, I was right. Yeah.
That's Christy.
We do have the original long version. That's the one that'll be streamed, you know.
That's like
a radio edit, if you know what I mean, just to keep it within the 3 minutes or whatever it is.
How long is the long version?
It just has the verse that's missing, yeah. the last verse.
You know? Right, okay.
And that'll be going to everyone, every platform on Thursday. And thank you all for your support over the 40 years. Yeah. And our tribute to Christy.
Yeah.
And what a vocal.
What a voice, what an amazing version of a classic. R.I.P. Christy, bloody magical version of Athenry. Mags, absolutely love Christy's Field of Athenry Trees in Dublin. It's like he was meant to sing that.
I know.
You know what I mean?
He's meant to sing everything.
See, it's a song that's thrown away, you know, and the meaning of it's lost with a lot of people. But Christy sort of grabbed it.
Oh, yeah,
of
course.
Just wow, R.I.P. Christy. And now that's the one for the Ireland rugby matches in future. They can belt it out on the speakers and let the crowd in Lansdowne sing it. Regards, John in Cork. It'll be played there, and it'll be played at the end of nightclubs all over the country. And you know, it'll definitely keep Christy's memory alive in a big way. Such a sad loss to lose one of Ireland's legends. Can you ask the band what were the last words they spoke with Christy? Did they have a chance to say goodbye, Geraldine and Sligo? Billy?
No, we were talking to him about the Tree Arena, the 40th year gig. That was the last conversation we had, and how we were going to work it if Christy wasn't able to be there or perform, or if he could be there and support it. It was going to be like a night for Christy, like we did in the Olympia that time. That was the last conversation we had with him, and that was it then.
And then we just left it.
And then we left. Once he went into palliative care, that was it. We backed off.
It's family time that time.
And you know, it's tough, but you know, and people listening know that he was diagnosed with terminal cancer about 10 or 11 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a long goodbye, and there were a number of times along the way, and you would have been there when it was touch and go, and he rallied and he came back amazingly.
I thought he was invincible, right?
Yeah.
Like that. This is the thing, you said it, he'd get sick, but then a couple of months down the line we'd be back gigging. I'm ready to do a gig. He'd get sick again, and then we'd be, and when we said goodbye in Ballykeith, Joe, he always used to travel with Joe, so we just said, see you Joe, see you Christy, see you, be on to you on Tuesday for rehearsals or whatever. And that was it. Even when you're told that he's not well, he'd be right. He'd be all right around the month.
Ah, Lazarus. Here comes Lazarus.
Lazarus. That's what we were starting to call him. Lazarus.
Joe, in those, you know, journeys to gigs, did you ever chat about after Christy? Did you ever chat about what?
No, never.
Did he ever bring it up?
No. Because you just live for the time that you have, you know. what's the point in worrying about what to do in the future? You know?
We never had that conversation.
Never, ever.
It never came up as, like, lads, what are you going to do when I die? That conversation never came
about. What do you think we should do
about
when you're gone, Christy? You know,
we didn't want to know
about them days. It's kind of either, the last, you know, so we didn't want to discuss them. We didn't want to,
you know.
But they're here now.
We hit it.
And I hope he supports our decision to keep going, because the way we look at it, Ray, is when we're performing them songs, at least Chrissy would be remembered in the gigs, in the venue. Yeah. What's the alternative? We're a band. They have to play, otherwise they're not a band. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, and I think the first couple of gigs back are going to be very, very emotional for people that are there. And for us as well.
And what's the plan for a singer then? Are you going to sing?
We're not there, Ray. We're not even thinking about that yet. We're just going up to rehearsals. We're having the stories amongst ourselves. Yeah. We're running through the songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is something that we can put our energy into. Yeah. The Fields of Attenroy. Yeah. We can put our energy into that. Yeah. And then we'll worry about it.
I mean, there's no question that we certainly aren't trying to replace Chris.
No, but you're irreplaceable.
No,
you can never.
Irreplaceable. Yeah.
Like, you know, we chatted to you and to Christy like so many times over the years. I was remembering, because I was on holidays, I remember the first time I did an interview with Christy was back in 1988-89.
Where was it? Because I was saying it's Alan.
It was in the Rock Cellar. Remember the Rock Cellar at the end of Grafton Street?
The Rock Cellar.
Yeah, it was a basement. It was a basement rock music shop. I think Pat Egan ran it.
Oh. The Rock Cellar.
Sound Cellar. Sorry.
What were we doing down there?
No, you weren't there. It was just Christy on his own.
Oh, right. Okay. No wonder I can't remember it. But I was thinking Air Force interaction with you would have been Dustin or Zig and Zag.
Yeah, it was even before that, because I was on this other thing called Joe Maxey and I interviewed Christy for that. Yeah.
That's it. We did and Joe Maxey as well.
That was 88, 89.
Yeah.
And myself and Christy walked up Graft Street, because I think it had been newly pedestrianised or something.
Okay.
And we did the interview walking and talking up Grafton Street. And I remember he was rock and roll to me, you know, because I was just up from the country. I was a young lad up from the country. And then there was this guy who just oozed charisma and rock and roll. I could see it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, even like, because you weren't that big then, but even I felt a little bit, you know.
I'm still only 4'4".
Yeah.
But it's got, did he have the leather jacket on?
Well, you know,
Phil Innitt gave him that leather jacket.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, yeah. And
would
and
it not be too
what?
Big for him?
That jacket got robbed on Christy. Right. He was sickened. Yeah.
So did you support Thin Lizzy at one stage? Or?
Christy he gave Christy some studio time.
Right.
And Christy gave him the leather jacket. Yeah.
Just a couple of things, like Niamh went through loads of interviews we did with Christy over the years, and she just found a couple of things. One of them was because he loved opera, didn't he? And he spoke with her a lot.
And in this
one he's talking about Ave Maria.
The Italian language
has
broader vowels. So if you look at Ave Maria, there's no theirs or yours in it. It's all Ave Maria, gratia plena.
So you have to open up.
They're all broad vowels. Yes, yeah. So when you have a broad vowel, when that broad vowel hits the vocal cords, it clears it. It clears it of all the phlegm and shit that's on it.
Yeah.
So, and then you can sing properly after that, you know.
Right, so that's what you do in the dressing room before a gig.
No, I don't do that.
Ave Maria.
The band is
He never did a vocal warm-up.
Did he not?
No, he didn't. And even though he studied bel canto for those years, like, he never... He'd get up in the morning. The first thing he'd do in the morning was he'd check his voice. His voice is there. And before the gig...
just in case he lost it overnight.
Before the gig, you'd imagine him being the lead singer that he would do vocal warm-ups. Have a cigarette and
he
go out.
He didn't need to. He basically didn't need to. Yeah. You know, we would have made him... I think if he did vocal warm-ups, it would have made him too comfortable. You know, he wanted to go out and...
On edge all the time.
You know, and interact with the audience. And
you've mentioned the fans over and over again.
Absolutely.
And again, memories, because you shot a video in the Olympia Theatre to go out on DVD, a concert. I remember being at it and I was watching one of the fans, and not only did he know every lyric of every song, but he also knew every
movement.
Action that Christy
great,
did. I just singled him out. He was there in the middle, and I just looked at him, and then I look at Christy, and he was like a mirror image of Christy. He did everything.
Yeah.
But we talked about the fans.
Like we did the last Vicar Street things we've done. We got a message of Gerald Kane sent a message up that he had a woman with her. She was 80 and she wants to sing happy birthday to her. And I'm looking at the front of the stage and there's all these 14 and 15 year olds and this 80 year old at the back and everything in between.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that that makes me feel good that we're getting across to that, because you know yourself, right, when you're growing up, like, you never listen to what your dad listened to, you know. That was kind of... But these are coming with our fat parents, a lot of them, you know. Yeah. It's amazing.
Mind you, my dad was into jazz, so...
Oh, Jesus. Jazz.
Yeah. I hate jazz. But 9 to 90, that's what
really?
Our age group... Yeah, we always said it. But do you know what was lovely, Ray? There was loads of big artists that paid tribute to him after he passed. But on a grassroots level... Every small pub in Ireland that had a singer in it that weekend. And I was talking to your researcher, Grace, about this. And I was being sent videos of where these singers in small pubs down the country were doing their tribute to Aslan Christie when he died. And Grace said, well, my partner plays in a small pub in Wicklow.
Mark,
and he did two songs. And I said, that's my point. Yeah, and Christie would have loved that it was the grassroots.
Yeah.
You know, and level.
And a lot of singers who've come on since he died have insisted on singing an Aslan song.
That
was before Christie died.
It was. Yeah. He did a... What a version this of is, this yeah. is.
Jack O'Rourke did, I think, this is as well.
It was great. You had the Coronas in Fairview. They did Damien Dempsey in Ivy. Yeah. But never mind that.
Are they all auditioning for...
It was just the grassroots. I think Christie, that would have really resonated with him.
I mean, he treated everybody the same. Yeah. You know, age didn't come into the... You know,
so I was looking at the tree, listen to his voice there. And
weird.
It is.
It's like hearing the song when he starts that vocal. I don't think it's really at home.
He's waiting for the door to open.
Yeah, yeah. Christie, you're late for the Ray Darcy interview. Come on, what's the excuse this time? You know, and that's it.
I don't think Christie, like you were just saying there a minute ago, you know, did you ever talk about these days, and these days are here now? But like, I don't think for one minute Christie would want us to stop.
Right.
I don't think he would. You know what? We're going to give up. Like, certainly if it had been me, he wouldn't have given up, you know?
If it had been me.
So it's like what Billy was saying earlier on. It's just like us getting into the studio, and that therapy is just... Yeah. It's just so important to actually play, to be together
we're
again.
We're musicians, you know. We just want to keep playing our music.
I'm so happy to hear those Aslan lads. Hope they keep the music going. That Christie song is magic. And Mary Androida says, it's truly amazing. And listen to this interview, says Malachy. It sounds like Christie is there with the lads being interviewed.
He is.
He was bold, wasn't he? He normally cut across me and he'd be saying, Billy, stop saying that. I'd say something stupid, you know. And Christie was very, very intelligent.
Very
man.
Bright man.
He was very, very bright. He could run rings around a lot of people, you know. But he had a wicked sense of humour.
Yeah.
He really did.
And he was mischievous.
Oh yeah. There was one time there was a river that used to run through Finglas.
Right? Still does.
What's it called?
The Talca.
The Talca, right.
A river runs through it.
You see? There you go. I'm saying stupid things. I know it's that was a Christie. Right? So what Christie did was, right, it was only 2 foot deep where they used to paddle. So Christie got down and he crouched down really low and he was pretending to tread the water. Right, so this fella came along in his trunks and he saw Christie treading the water and he went, that must be deep, so he took a jump and he jumped in, came down, tore the arse off himself and then Christie stood up like,
Silver spoon.
Keep going, Aslan. Christie will never be forgotten. I miss the lads in Ballykeef Theatre, but what a version of the song you played and what a tribute song to Christie with the lilt he had. I look forward to seeing Aslan back in Kilkenny if they decide to come over for a gig. P.S. What is the album called where that song can be found? It's just on its own at the moment, isn't it?
It's on its own. It'll be available on all platforms Thursday. On Thursday. Everyone can get it. Yeah, and I'm just going to
play a little bit more of it. Is that okay?
Play the intro because the intro just has that. Tingle.
And you know when people hear a song for the first time, they go, oh yeah, I want to hear that again. I want to hear it again. Now. Thank you.
Low lie
the fields of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing. We had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
Sorry, Joe. I shouldn't have played it here. Listen, lads. Thanks a million for coming in.
Pleasure, whatever you're
doing in the future, we'll always be here to give you the old plug or whatever. Joe, thanks. I know that was Sophia. Billy, thanks. Alan, thank you very much. Thank you. Take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Puffin Rock and the New Friends is the latest feature-length film to come from the five-time Academy Award, Golden Globe, BAFTA and Emmy-nominated Irish animation studio based in Kilkenny, Cartoon Saloon. And joining me in the studio this afternoon, Jeremy Purcell and Lorraine Lorden, who are both director and assistant director of this new beautiful film. Congratulations to you both. Will we play the theme tune? Because people, parents and grandparents who watched the original Puffin Rock with their children will know this, and they'll definitely know the
so
theme
nostalgic.
Tune. Yes.
Yeah.
So Puffin Rock was a little TV programme. There was a lot of them.
Yes.
How many were there in total?
Two series of 39 episodes each.
That's 78. That's and they were 7 minutes long.
That's right.
Yeah. And now you're going to feature length.
That's right. 75 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. And it took 3.5 years to do. But COVID was in there. So people who don't know about Puffin Rock, who's best... position to introduce it to people.
Well, it's for 3 to 5 year olds, and it was here played on RTE Junior, and it's also on Netflix. And it's about a little brother and sister Puffin. So Una is the older sister, and Baba is the little brother. And Baba gets himself into little scrapes, and Una kind of looks out for him. So it's a really lovely family dynamic.
Yeah.
But you know, there's also a lovely nature element to it. You know, they're on a little island, and you know, every episode we learn a little nature fact. So you know, in one episode we might learn about Bernie the hermit crab and how he changes his shell, and then in another episode we learn about a little caterpillar changing into a butterfly. So we have, you know, this lovely little family dynamic, and we also have this just beautiful peaceful island where we get to observe nature,
And it's beautifully drawn.
Yeah.
And it's narrated by Chris O'Dowd.
It is.
The TV programme was, and the movie is now. And Jeremy, you were director on the assistant director on the TV.
Assistant director on the TV series, yes.
Morris, you got the nod to direct this.
Yes, but Morris approached me at a Christmas party because we knew that there was going to be a feature, and we had talked about it, or there had been rumours of it in the studio on and off, and they were working on a treatment, a couple of pages about the story. And Morris approached me in the Christmas party and talked me into it because he wanted to do something else. So, so he was like, would you mind taking this over?
Yeah.
So Morris is directing a show at the moment in Cartoon Saloon. So we took Puffin
Rock. Picked up the baton.
Now, as I said in the introduction, you know, 5 times Academy Award nominated Cartoon Saloon. So when you step into the feature length movie thing, do you feel the weight of pressure on your shoulders because it's coming from Cartoon Saloon?
I don't know if we felt the Oscar pressure so much as the mammy pressure. You know, because, you know, it's so beloved. You know, families have, you know, brought their children up, and this, it is like a soundtrack to parts of their lives. So I think we felt the pressure to, you know, deliver something to those people who had been watching it for a really long time and just had that great love and affection for the show. So I think that's where the pressure came from more. So we did feel that responsibility of
so to be true to the original.
Very much
And I believe that Puffin Rock is huge in China.
Yes, yeah.
Like how big? What are we talking about?
I think there's like a billion streams of it.
What?
Yeah.
It's getting bigger each time we tell that story.
Well, time goes on, do you know what I mean? Yeah. More people watch it.
Yeah, at some point I'll be right.
Maybe, I think maybe 500 million views. It's
still, that's half a billion. Still, just say it fast. All half, people hear is the billion. Yes,
It's still quite a lot, yes. Yeah. So we think that there might be 2 to 3 year olds going around learning English in a slightly Northern accent.
Aha.
You know?
Because a lot of the characters are voiced by Northern actors.
Yes, a lot of our they're voiced by children from around Derry, Belfast, from Northern Ireland.
And then Chris O'Dowd is from Roscommon.
Yes.
Yep.
It's very Irish, which I loved about it. Even in just, like, I'm going to play a clip from the movie, and it's Chris O'Dowd narrating, and they're in a cave, and there's all sorts of mad stuff going on. So here it is.
What?
Huh?
I didn't do anything.
Then what did?
Whatever it is, it's digging very fast. It's a furry paw. And another one. It must be some type of horrible prehistoric cave monster. Or a very cute otter. I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared at all, of course. Maybe just a little bit.
I love that the narrator is sort of, he's involved.
Yes, exactly. He's one of the team. Like, and really, we can put ourselves in his shoes, because we feel like he's asking the questions, or he's saying to the characters what we want to say to them, you know. So I think that's a really nice connection for the audience to have.
And the otter's name is?
Marvin.
Marvin.
Yes.
And Marvin's new in town, and so too is Isabel and Phoenix.
That's right, yeah.
And that's a theme throughout the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, there's 3 new arrivals in the island, and, you know, it's a challenge going somewhere new and trying to fit in and get used to new things. So we have 3 different characters that are all facing the same challenge, but the way that they handle it is very different. So I think that's important to kind of know that not everybody's going to react the same way in a given situation. So to be understanding and try and kind of have a little patience and a little empathy for people.
So a lot of people returned, obviously Chris O'Dowd returned, but you used that, I've never heard that expression before, but some of the actors aged out.
Yes.
Which means they got too old, is that it?
Yes. Right. Our TV series Una, Kate, is 19 and going to college at the moment.
Right.
So we were very, very lucky. Beth, her younger sister, is 14 and just the perfect age.
Right.
So she stepped in. We did a casting audition with her, and she stepped in as Una. So they sound so similar that we were able to use a little bit of Walla, which is the laughs and panting and stuff like
breaths.
That, and breaths from the TV series. So it's really the 2 sisters kind of mixed.
So you've all those on file.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're in the editor and you need a pant or something, you go.
Yeah. It's like fall and somebody goes, oof.
Yes. Yeah. usually for the last half an hour of the recording with the actors, we just go, okay, run on the spot, and they will just run or laugh or cough or.
And you have all that stuff.
All this kind of stuff. Or even just saying, hi, hello, how are you?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, goodbye.
You never know when you'll need a goodbye, Jeremy. You'll never know. And Eva Whittaker, we spoke to Eva because she was one of the voice actors in The Wolfwalkers.
Yes.
And she's a voice actor on this
Such
as well.
Such a huge talent. She's really a star.
What age is she now?
14, again, making us feel really old.
And she plays?
She plays Isabel, so she's one of the new arrivals, and I guess she is the one kind of having the most difficult transition, because we kind of imagine that Isabel was back on her island, we would think of it as Tufton Puffin Island, and that she was Una, and she kind of understood the world, and she knew her place, and she knew everyone, and just for her, this new place is more disorientating than maybe for some of the others. So she's having more problems with adjusting.
So this was written before the war in Ukraine, but it has amazing echoes with a lot of children who are living in Ireland now who have come from Ukraine.
Yes.
So you're doing a lovely thing. You're casting at the moment for a Ukrainian version. Yes.
Yeah, Jerry, our MD, came up with this idea and pitched it to Screen Ireland, who were helping fund it and stuff, and we're casting and doing auditions. We've just done in-house auditions where we were just bringing in actors, placing them in front of a microphone just for them to get the feel of what it is to be in a microphone with earphones on and stuff. And they read lines and sang songs, and we're going through all of those at the moment to cast, I think, 15 roles, I think, we have to cast in Ukrainian.
And that'll just be, would that be in the cinemas, or where will it, that appear? It'll just,
I think the idea with it is to just give it out and say, here, this exists. Particularly within Ireland, there's community groups and stuff that can request a screener and then just put it on themselves.
In Ukraine. That's a lovely thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a small way that we can just support the community. And I think especially kids, you know, they don't understand everything that's going on. And hopefully we can kind of help them make some sense of it.
Yeah. You have the obligatory soft toys as well.
We do.
Also, actually, from Ukraine, a factory in Ukraine.
Oh, did they? Yes. That's a nice connection, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And in keeping with the nature message, they're made from recycled plastic. And each one has a little card that tells you how many bottles we were recycled to make each one. So, you know, we kind of really take on board the kind of nature message.
So that's
message.
Una.
This is Una, yeah.
There's Isabel, yeah. I recognise them. I recognise you from the...
Phoenix and Baba.
That's Phoenix
and
Baba. All right.
Yeah, so these are our original characters and these are the new characters. But we love them just as much.
So it's been shown, you've been at screenings already.
We have,
What's the reaction been?
It's been lovely actually for us to watch it with children, because we have actually been watching it with crew with maybe a critical eye, and we're looking for different things, but it's been so lovely to watch it with an audience and see how invested they are and how, like, they, you know, the Marvin's little song is a big hit, you know, it's so cute, he just goes dig dig diggy.
I should have recorded that.
So, you know, the kids are singing that, and you know, when the little egg goes missing, they're really invested and they're like, no, they took it. And you know, so that has been so lovely, and that's been new for us, and that really makes it worthwhile.
So you've moved on in a way. I know you're here today and you're promoting it and all that sort of thing, but you've moved on to the next project. What are you working on?
Well, we're there's another TV show being made in Cartoon Saloon, which is also showing on RTE right now, and that's Silly Sundays, so that's on the go right now.
Right. And Jeremy?
Yes, I am moonlighting a little bit on Silly Sundays. Yes.
How many people work in Cartoon Saloon?
It varies. It goes up and down depending on the projects.
It's a huge success story, isn't it?
Well, we're in it, so we kind of don't pay as much attention. You know, we just kind of go to work and we're happy to be working on projects that we love and, you know, with people that we like working with. So we maybe don't appreciate... like outside, you know, because we're just there and like just getting
just in talking to you and seeing them from the outside, they seem to be nurturing talent. So you were telling me before we went on air that people who worked on the TV program worked on the feature length thing.
Yes.
You know, and that's a big step up, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, that's, I think, you know, we were all young when Cartoon Saloon started, and we've grown as artists and as people with the company. And I think we know the value of that. So when new artists are coming in, you know, we appreciate how hard it is to start and how intimidating it might be. And, you know, just really give them some guidance and encouragement often is all they need, you know?
Okay, quick question on AI, because I've been saying I'm fascinated by the audio element of it, and I've been saying that for animators, like, you know, it's a win-win for them. They can clone voices of their choice, type in a bit of script, and there you have it. Mm. You don't have to worry about casting or anything.
I don't know. I think I would probably use AI if we needed to. We need this character to shout, and it's only one pickup, and we don't want to bring him into get that. So maybe we'd use AI
Thin end of the wedge,
yes.
Jeremy.
Yes, I think like we were talking about it earlier, myself and Lorraine. I think if we had AI say to do Isabel, it wouldn't be the performance that Eva brought to it. And I think Eva brought something that was surprising to us.
Right.
And
yeah, no,
you, know,
you can't clone that,
yeah,
that emotion.
You need that collaboration. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
My daughter's nearly three. We love to watch Puff and Rock together. It's beautiful. Baba and Una are firm favourites in our house. We'll be watching this. Thank you, Orla and Edie. And we brought our two-year-old for his first trip to the cinema yesterday to see Puff and Rock. It was absolutely magical. He's currently standing by the radio saying, "Where's Baba?" since you played the theme tune. There you go. That's what you like to hear, isn't
yes.
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, listen, congratulations again, Jeremy Purcell and Lorraine Lorden. And Puff and Rock and the New Friends is in cinemas now. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gramaga Kieran, thank you very much. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Huge reaction to the lads from Aslan and their version of The Fields of Athenry featuring Christy Dignam on vocals. I had to say that, you know. A definitive version for sure, made for Christy's voice and his lifeline on departure from his band. Best regards, Di. I remember going to Minnie's Bar in Dungarvan in County Waterford to listen to Aslan. They were phenomenal. The best Irish rock band of all time. The legend might be gone, but the music lives on. Fair play to the lads. And my husband supported Aslan years ago. I met Christy a number of times. He was the loveliest, boldest, kindest and funniest man. He's missed, says Orla. And driving in Dallas, just heard the intro to The Fields of Athenry from Aslan on RTÉ Radio 1. Goosebumps, homesick, can't wait for release on Thursday. Yeah, it's available on all the various ways you can get your music now on Thursday. And we'll play it again for you before then because it's so good. But right now we have to do our Who Done It quiz. Two quizzes are standing by, and this week the prize, it's a mini break at the Kingsley in Cork. It's a two-night stay in one of their stylish riverside rooms, dinner on one evening and breakfast each morning. You and a guest will also be treated to a luxurious Kirsten Florian Nordic Zen experience. Fancy. At the spa at the Kingsley. The beautiful bedrooms, bistro-style restaurant, luxury spa and an extensive health club. And it's their stylish and distinctive riverside location, perfect for exploring everything that Cork City has to offer. The Kingsley.ie. Bernie Whittaker, how are you?
Hello. Hi, Ray. How are you?
How do you spell your surname, Bernie?
It's actually spelled like Whiteacre.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's pronounced Whittaker. Yeah.
Now, which begs the question.
It's unusual.
No, but yeah. It does beg the question whether at one stage in the past, was it always Whiteacre and it became Whittaker?
I'd say we have done a bit of homework on it. Mm. And apparently Whittaker originally, they came to Kildare, got a thing about the 1400s.
Right.
And they had some kind of really nice house or whatever in Kildare. They were quite rich. And that didn't follow on through, unfortunately. But yeah, I think you were Protestant people that came, as far as I know. And then they... from what we know, one of the men in the house married a kind of one of the servants who was Catholic, and they turned Catholic.
Right.
This is what you've heard. But
the name. Yeah. So your name is spelled Whiteacre, and you're from Blackwater. It's great, isn't it?
yeah, I know. Blackwater, I know.
The Whiteacres from Blackwater.
Yeah. I know.
Red's his first name. Red Whiteacre from Blackwater, yes. His brother's called Blue. Yeah, but I've never seen Whittaker spelt like that before, Bernie.
No, and there's nobody else in Ireland apart from cousins of my husband's, yeah.
Right.
There's no. I've never seen it either. No.
So you do. You spend
in America, all right.
Are there? You must spend a lot of your time explaining, do you?
Yes.
Could you spell that? W H I T E A C R E. No, that's Whiteacre. No, Whittaker. It's Whittaker.
Yeah.
It's my name. I should know.
We've heard many versions of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Blackwater, lovely little village in Wexford.
It is lovely, yeah. Now, we're originally Dublin. We moved here 20 years ago.
Right.
We moved down here from Dublin. Absolutely love it when the kids were younger, you know. So we love it down here. So
you're
very happy.
When does one lose the name of the label of blow-in?
Never.
No, right, okay.
No, I wouldn't say so, no.
Listen, I believe you left one of your children behind you when you went shopping.
I did.
Today.
I left Lisa. She's going to kill me for saying her name on air. We were... What happened was my husband getting the shopping in Dunn's in Wexford.
Right.
And I was getting into the car and somebody was waiting for the car park spot.
Yes.
You know, somebody, it's always really busy. And I was going, I said to Pat, hurry, you know, move out. So we just moved out, we're going across the bridge, and we get a call from Lisa to say, where are you? She was in Jones. So we pulled in at the hotel, the riverbank at the far side, and she caught up with us. Yeah,
now, I should tell people before they start ringing, you know, social services, that she's 17 or 18.
She's 18.
Yeah.
She's all right.
She's fine. She can vote and drink and all those. She can take care of herself. So she,
absolutely.
She has a Debs coming up.
She has a Debs coming up now in August. So right. That's what I was saying to Cormac. We are just getting all the final bits and pieces in town. The 16th of August her Debs is. So yeah, so we're all sorted out. So that's good.
So she's accessorizing this. She has the dress. She's just accessorizing.
Very good. Yes. Accessorizing, yeah. That's it.
And how do they work now, Bernie? Is it a full day event or what happens or...
Well, yeah. Well, what happens is she'll be ready probably for about 4 o'clock on the day. First is on a Wednesday, and then we'll have kind of neighbours and whoever's around relations, you know, coming to see the debutante.
Right.
And the boyfriend will be out. Yeah, he'll be out with his parents and whoever on his side would like to come out. You know, you have your tea and your coffee or your bit of wine.
It's
nearly
like a mini wedding, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. A lot goes on.
Very
different to my one.
We didn't have a Debs. We didn't have a Debs. Yeah. Okay, you're up against Mary Galvin in Castleknock. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. You're from Castleknock, but where are you now?
I am in Uachtarard, and your sound producers asked me to close the windows in the car. So I may die in the heat, but I've pulled in. Last two nights I came down to visit our son in Irish College, our youngest, who's 16, and I decided to come down the night before. And I have this new contraption called a tent fox, which I bought off a guy who's a great shop down in Wexford, I think.
Right.
Or is it Waterford? Buckled Wheel. I give them a shout out there, and it's a tent that goes on the roof of your car.
I've seen you climb up
on it on a ladder, and it's just been fantastic.
Okay, now talk us through. Now, hold on. It's a tent box. So I've seen them. So they're only about a foot deep, are they? When they're folded up?
Not even half a foot. And it's the size of a double bed.
Right.
I don't know the exact measurements, but it looks like a long, wide, flat roof box. Metal. So the one I got is metal, and you just flick it open and it goes up into a triangular shape.
Right.
And I've just been fantastic. So I stayed in Skull for three nights during the film festival.
Right.
Just across the road from a wonderful hotel, and had my espresso sitting there chatting with some lovely people. And then I went down to the Blaskets and I stayed near Cumino and some friends were up from Kerry and
Dunquin, Coolnall, all that. Yeah, lovely down there. Yeah.
It was stunning. And, you know, they were staying in B&Bs and lovely B&Bs down there, but this was just magic.
So you're sleeping on the roof of your car?
Yes. And, you know, and mostly I've had people I know or friends around me, but last night now I stayed in a place in the middle of nowhere and I was the only person on this fabulous beach, which I won't name. But
it's,
and there's even toilets on it. And if I name it, everyone will be down. But it was absolutely stunning. And, you know, you couldn't find a hotel with. I mean, I'll send you in a picture of it. It was stunning. And the night before, I was down in Carrow, and I stayed down there. And I've been on your show. I did the strip and dip.
Oh yes, you did. Yes. Yeah. How are you, Mary? Yes.
I camped down in Arklow. For the strip and dip as well. Yeah. So.
But you're used to camping, but this tent box now has brought it to a different level for you.
Well, there's no rocks under me. You know, there's no stones. And if you park on the flat, you're camping on the flat. And I mean, it pays if you. I have a lovely little stove, and I'm cooking myself up things too, making my espresso coffee in the morning.
You're selling it to us. Yeah.
You know, and you can go and stay and go out for a nice meal. You probably could afford it if you're saving on the accommodation. So I'm loving it, Ray.
Brilliant. Tent box recommended by Mary Galvin, Castleknock. Okay, right. Three questions each, Bernie and Mary. I give you the category, then I ask if you want a clue. If you go with a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. Whoever's the most points is the winner, and if the drawing points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both.
Hi, Bernie. Good luck.
That's Mary there.
Thank you, Mary.
Now, okay, Bernie, music it is. Music. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
No clue. For two, who is this? Did I hear you say yeah, Bernie?
Yeah, Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel is, yes, Sledgehammer, 1986. Brilliant video, famous stop frame animation. Very good, well done. 2 points, okay. Mary Galvin.
Yes.
Do you want a clue or not?
No clue,
please. No clue. For two, who is this? And it is.
Oh, God. Oh, I can see her. No.
Gloria Estefan.
Ah!
1, 2, 3, 1987. Okay. Don't panic quite yet, Mary. Right.
I'm panicking.
Bernie, back to you. UK TV characters. UK TV characters. Now, we need the name of the character, not the actor.
The character.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
Okay, so can you name this UK TV character for 2 points?
I've been doing a tally of the money what we raised for charity from our buns and cake. I have made 30 quid and you have made 4.
Oh, me vanilla buttercream strawberry regali. Oh, what a spiteful thing to do.
So, I've always been a petty woman, Pauline Fowler. Petty and a terrible cook. Ruining my cake.
I'm guessing Hilda Ogden. I don't know, really. Hilda Ogden.
No. Dot Cotton from EastEnders. Dot Cotton. Played by June Brown. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're on two. Mary, you've yet to score. It's UK TV characters. What do you think? What do you want to do?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I'm going to get it either way. I don't have a clue. No clue.
No clue. Okay, so can you name this UK TV character for 2 points?
All right, there's no need to be silly. Making our Columbo simple. He knows as much as I do. Bless him. It's the little things he does. You underestimate that dog. I may well enter him for chuffs. I've taught him all the rudiments of canine comportment. He's got a lovely deportation. I've really trained that dog.
And it is...
Oh, that is some mothers who have them.
Yeah, I need the name of the character.
Crawford.
No. You got everything bar the correct answer.
Okay.
It is Some Mothers Do Have Them, played by Michael Crawford. We were looking for Frank Spencer.
Oh, you wanted him.
Yes, I did say it a couple of times.
You did.
Sorry about that, Mary. Sorry. Now,
No problem. You're
not out of it yet. Okay, so, Bernie. If you get anything from the final question, which is on Irish singers, then Mary can't catch you.
Okay, so I'll go for a clue then, I suppose.
You go for a clue. So as I say, if you get this 1 point, then Mary can't catch you.
Okay,
Irish singers, this Donegal singer is known by one name. So for 1 point, can you name her?
They're all important to me. They're all like at a time in my life. They're like little stories and a part of a diary of my life. So to me, the most important album and the most important song would be Orinoco Flow, and the most important album would be Watermark, because it introduced the music to everyone.
Who's that?
No, I think it's Margot.
It's not Margot. It's not Margot. No. Although I would like to hear her singing Orinoco Flow. It's Enya. Do you know Sail Away?
Yeah.
Related to Clonid, obviously. So you're on two still, Bernie. We can't take that away from you. But it means that Mary can bring us to a tiebreak question. Mary, if you go without a clue, which is the only thing you can do, and get it right, then we're into a tiebreak situation, okay? So I have to ask anyway, do you want to go for a clue?
No, thanks.
No. Okay, so for 2 points and to bring us to a tiebreak question, can you name this Irish singer?
Yeah, I've had a great time. I recorded an album down in the garden shed, and it was great fun, no pressure. Nobody knew I was doing it. A friend of my son's, I heard his music and he heard mine. and we spent 6 months down the garden making an album, and I don't know what anybody's going to think of it, but I had a great time making it.
Who's that?
I heard that interview. Oh, it's not Phil Coulter, it's the other guy. Phil Coulter, I'll say.
No.
No.
It's Christy Moore. Christy Moore talking to Gabe Byrne. Yeah, that's Christy Moore. It is Christy.
Gosh, she sounds wonderful. Well, Bernie, well done.
There you go.
Oh,
Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks a million.
Lovely talking to you.
Have a fabulous time.
And perfect for the way you're travelling around the country. We're going to send you out a Radar Show Keep Cup, which you will treasure. And enjoy the tent, boxing, camping, all that sort of thing.
Thanks so much, Mary.
Mind yourself. Drive safely. Bye now. Bye.
Good luck, Mary. Thank you.
Bernie, well done.
Oh, wow, that was, God, I thought you'd get that easily, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
You knew Christy. I thought you would have got Enya with the Orinoco Flow and all that sort of thing. That was number one. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's all behind you. Great. You are going with a person of your choice to the Kingsley Hotel. You can look at thekingsley.ie to see what's in store for you. Lovely talking to you, Bernie. Mind yourself.
You too. Thank you.
See you now.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is one of the biggest comedy festivals in the world, and it's a great place for entertainers to showcase their talents. One such act is duo Laura Lavelle and Breda Larkin, a cabaret performer and a stand-up comedian. They're off to Scotland next month with their show, and they join me now to tell us all about it. Let's start with the name, Laura.
Hi.
What's the name of your show?
We're the Wild Geese.
Yes.
The Wild Geese.
You are, of course,
cabaret.
You are. Yes. And you're off to Edinburgh, which is very exciting.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, we're delighted.
Now, we met down at the Women's Shed in Mungret in Limerick.
We did.
Yes. And you were doing your burlesque dancing.
I was.
Yes. And that's what you do.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm doing that when I say burlesque dancing.
You're getting very into it. Yeah. Would you like a job, Ray? We can give you a job.
As burlesque dancer. I don't know.
You look like a natural.
How does one get into burlesque dancing?
Well, it was just very natural. I just decided to train in another form of dance, and I decided that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
Burlesque,
okay.
Yeah.
And Breedy, you're a stand-up comedian. We've established that.
Yeah, not a burlesque dancer.
Not a burlesque dancer.
I'd be asking to put your clothes on there, Breedy. In the show, I put on more jumpers and she takes them off.
Yeah, I have like 1,000 costume changes, but Breedy
doesn't. I love this quote, which I was going to use in the intro, but the ad was so short, I forgot. So this is a description of your show.
Oh, fab.
Dark humour, striptease, enchanting harmonies, puppets and wild Irish women, and talks of dismantling the agricultural patriarchy. Now there, you have me.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's got it all,
it's
right?
We'll cover all bases.
Something for everyone there.
Yeah, it is.
So you're from an agricultural background, Breedy?
Yeah, I'm from Ballinasloe. So.
Right.
And my father's a farmer. I did the green sort, so I have a good knowledge of farming. I'm in a farming group called Thal of Bio, so I have a good interest in farming.
Yeah. And how did you get into stand-up then?
I did theatre studies and stuff in 2009. I sort of fell into stand-up. I more like did one-woman shows and stuff like that. But I just kind of enjoyed making people laugh, I suppose. Yeah.
And how did you two meet then?
It was my show in Limerick. I host a monthly cabaret show in Limerick, which is now called the Wild Geese Cabaret.
Right.
And it was in Chez La Fabre when it started.
Yeah.
And she wanted a job and I gave her a slot at the cabaret.
Yes, yeah. I had one that showed me the funny that year. So I sent her videos around. But I suit cabaret better because I have kind of puppets, like vagina puppets and funny songs about trees.
Yeah, vagina puppets.
Slurries. Yes. Right. Yeah,
yes. So when I saw the vulva mask, I was like, these are all perfectly natural biological words we can use on the radio,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course they are. Yes.
But so she's this giant vulva mask. And I thought,
giant.
Do you know what? Do you know what? She's perfect for the show. So yeah. we clicked from then.
I had a wig. I had a black wig. A woman made it for me in Cork and I had a wig on it, like black hair. And then Laura would wear the mask. So then I kind of manifested her.
Yeah.
The mask
meant to be.
So yeah. Right. I feel like the mask found Laura.
Yes. Yeah. So it was a match made in somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
Down the bog, yeah. In the dikes at the farm. Yeah,
the dikes.
Exactly.
Hey,
thank you. We're here all day.
Yeah,
we're actually
here
in a few minutes.
Yeah. So it's a big deal, isn't it, going to Edinburgh?
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah, we're delighted. Yeah, we also have a GoFundMe if anybody wants to help towards it, because yeah, it is a little expensive.
But we're in the fringe, like we're in the Gilda Bloom, which is great. It's run by a mother-daughter team, so it's right in the centre. We have to give us 11 o'clock late night spot, so it should be really exciting to fill it.
The Gilded Balloon, the turret.
Yeah. Turret. Right. Right. The Tiviot.
The turret.
So,
we should know that.
Like, you have us, you know, the dark human striptease, the dismantling of agricultural patriarchy. So, I want to just delve a little bit more into the act. And so, there's singing, there's dancing. Mm-hmm. You tell a few. Stories, yeah. Jokes.
Yeah, jokes. I mean, I suppose I have a good
bit. Well, the whole thing is comedy. Really.
Full of comedy, but we do, like, I suppose the women in farming, I would say, like, women in farming is kind of like stopping gaps, you know, so we're just kind of, like, and then, you know, growing up on the farm and different sort of, I think, you know, stories from the farms, like Laura, horrifies Laura and stuff like that. Different, like how, you know, dealing with it. Like, you know,
we have a song called Slurry.
Slurry, yeah. Right.
Which is Slurry. Like to the air of Tracy
it's
Chapman.
All that you can spray. So,
just to treat the slurry, just to treat it so it's not as toxic on the land.
But we're not having a go at farmers. We're having a go at agribusiness model of farming, that's all.
Right. Yeah, plant trees, that's our message.
You know, let's be honest, like farming up until the recent past was dominated and still is dominated by men.
Yeah, it's changed. I mean, a lot of women in organics, actually, a lot of the organic and small micro dairies are actually women. So I think women are more interested in smaller farms and, you know, like community farming and stuff like that. Yeah. So kind of bringing people together. But I suppose it is, and would be activists in the sense that we do need to kind of keep farmers on the land. So how to do that is kind of...
And who else is in the family, in your family?
There's four girls in our house at home.
But there's no sort of sons?
No sons, no. My brother died when he was 20, so we've only one boy. So there's no one to carry on the Larkin name. But I say, it's okay, Daddy, I'm a lesbian. Yeah. So, he's our favourite because I never got married.
Every cloud.
And he bonded over... loss as well, because you lost a sister.
I lost my sister to suicide. Yeah, right. So we talk a lot about that in our show as well. We have like a dark humor approach, so we talk about grief and on our podcast as well, which is The Wild Geese, Good Grief. And we just kind of give more of a dark humor, fun approach, less sandals and candles approach to grief, and people seem to really respond well to it.
Mm. Yeah, Laura did one because Laura lost her mother as well. So there's one, No Mother's Tea.
It's been a great few years.
got it all. I said to
and
her
the
once,
dogs, I know the dog I went as well.
Oh, you lost the dog as well.
Right.
And I said to her one day, I was like, I know what I need to do. I need to kill my mother.
Yeah.
Just
to even out the playing
just
field.
Just even out, yeah.
That is dark.
I've got four sisters, Mike. You can have one.
That is dark.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Mary,
I'm joking, Mandy, of course.
But humour is a coping mechanism.
Oh, it's the best medicine.
Yeah.
For us, anyway.
Yeah.
And our audience.
Yeah, exactly. So No Mother's Day, I think, is really good. You can take, because a lot of people respond to that, didn't they? Because Mother's Day can be hard for people without mothers.
Yeah.
So just having a discussion with it, but then, you know, putting a funny name to it and having a tea party, whatever else. And we have like dead siblings in the house. We ask people to maybe put up their hands.
Right.
Because
it is dark, isn't it?
It is dark.
Yeah. I mean, it helps.
It helps. We that's just the way we are. Our creativity was born from it. I think, you know, you kind of have this, I know you have the same kind of this drive to create, drive to kind of, you know, succeed and do whatever
and you
want
fearless.
To do. Fearlessness.
You have like a fearlessness when you lose everything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that because you realise that life is for living? Is that it?
Basically. Yeah, basically.
Well, you're sort of nodding at me, patronising me there condescendingly.
No.
Is it or isn't it?
I agree. It is. I'm nervous. No, I'm just don't swear.
No, there's no need to be nervous. So it is that, isn't it? Because you realise if you lose somebody that young and you love them and then they're gone from your, you know, that life is for living. And
no, I think so. You can take risks a little bit more and think that you can, you know, you don't have much time for maybe small grievances or something because you have something bigger, so you kind of, you know, can maybe deal with things better. I found that, be an artist,
do take the less trodden path, you know, and just go for it because you don't have a fear of what could happen because the worst has already happened, so how could it be worse, you know?
Yeah.
So you're both of your lesbians.
Well, I'm a fully fledged dyke.
Oh no, you're
LGBTQ. Yes.
She's curious as to you.
I wouldn't like to rule out everyone, you know.
Okay.
I like to keep my options open, right?
So how do you describe yourself then?
I would describe myself as a slut. No, joking.
No, queer. We're both queer women.
Both queer women. Right,
sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, queer.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. So the show then is geared towards a queer audience or
no,
a general
everyone,
audience?
Yes. Everyone, yeah, anyone and everyone.
Yeah, I mean, we do our monthly show in Stony Batter called Stony Banter. So we do try and monthly every night up to those in Kavanaugh's, and we do predominantly have a lot of gay women come because it's a more of a collection. They would come to and have a party together. So our show kind of is a bit of a experience for everyone. But yes, we do get like straight men, gay
when
men.
When the straight lads are in, we love making them
they
laugh.
They love it, yeah. And they do really get a crack out of us because I suppose we do.
And there's partial nudity. So like,
exactly,
what's not to love?
Yeah. We've got the country city thing, you know, a bit of that. They like, you know, I do the rural jokes and stuff, and then Laura would come in with more sophisticated humour.
Well,
and or whatever. And so, yeah, so we do. We found that everyone has enjoyed us.
And you're doing a warm up gig at Altogether Now.
Yes, we're running the comedy stage on the Saturday and Sunday from 9 p.m. to late. Yeah. Will be the Wild Geese and a collection of other wild people, wild comedians.
Where are you going to stay when you're in Edinburgh?
In the van.
Of the van, yeah.
Right.
I have a camper van.
Rita's a camper van.
But we're staying outside a friend's house as well, so we have, you know, access to
they should
a
have
house
running water.
Shower.
Well, we're no strangers to bird baths either, right? You know,
I was going to ask you, have you tried out a tent box? But,
tent box?
Yeah.
No.
No, what's that?
No, you know, you put it on top of the car.
Oh, yes.
We had a lady on the quiz. She's touring the country with it.
Oh, fab.
So it falls down to about 10 inches and then you just press a button and whoosh,
Oh, wow.
So you're sleeping on the roof of your car.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're luckily to be in the van.
You're in the van.
With
you're
a sink, so we're winning.
Well, good luck in Edinburgh.
Thank you so much.
And thanks so much for coming in to talk to us.
Oh,
and
thanks for having
us.
Yeah,
we're doing a preview show in Galway as well for the Galway Arts Festival, and we're doing in Cork for Pride. So Cork, anyone wants to check us out, Cork, Galway, Pride, just follow the Wild Geese and get our list of events.
Yes, but it's a monthly show in Dublin.
Thanks,
Stony Batter.
Thanks, Laura. Thank
thanks
you very
Ray.
Much. Good luck on everything.
Thanks, guys.
That's it from us. Sarah's on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.